So as long as we're talking about the Word of God, let's go to Psalm 119 this morning. Psalm 119. Happy New Year. Tomorrow we begin 2018. If you don't have a Bible, you'll find one under your seat, and that would be page 512 there. Tomorrow we begin 2018, and by God's help, we hope that two things will happen at Graham Church in this year. First, on Sunday mornings, we are going to go through the whole story of the Bible in one year. We're going to go cover to cover, seeing all the main themes, the main characters, finding out how they all fit together in one consistent story, how the whole story of the Bible points to Jesus. We'll see all of that in this year. We're calling this series The Whole Story because that's what we're going to see. We're going to see the whole story of the Bible. Second, we want every Christian here to read the Bible this year. And not just to read it, but to read it supernaturally. To do the best that you can to read it with the fullest use of your natural powers, your intellect and your wisdom. But also, we want you to read it supernaturally in full dependence on God to open your heart and mind and to know Him in the Scriptures. So let me explain a little bit what I mean when I'm talking about supernatural reading of Scripture. It's possible for a human being to read the entire Bible, cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, with every bit of your human brain abilities and not to grasp what it says. Possible to read the whole Bible and not to find the true God there. It's possible for you to even have advanced degrees in biblical studies and yet to miss who Jesus really is in the pages of the Bible. So what I'm asking you to do in 2018 is to take every step of your natural reading of the Bible and do it in a supernatural way. That's how your life will change in 2018. So to show you this, we're going to the one chapter in the Bible that has more to say about the Word of God than any other, and that's Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm. Psalm 119 is longer than half of the books of the Bible. Just this one psalm. It's a love poem about the Bible. Now, we don't know who the author is, but we know that he is enraptured with God's Word. The longest love poem in the Bible is not about some girl. The longest love poem in the Bible is about God's Word. It's about the Bible. So let me give you just a few representative verses. We've read some of these already. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Verse 14. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. 41. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. 72. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Can you imagine that? He's saying, I love the Bible more than all the riches of this world. Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. So there's lots, 170-some verses to this psalm, and we could read all of them, but we'd be here all morning. Psalm 119 gives three reasons that reading the Bible will change your life. At least three reasons, but we're going to cover three. First, reading the Bible should be a supernatural experience. Reading the Bible should be a supernatural experience. Why is it that reading the Bible will change your life? Because it should be a supernatural experience. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. So he's asking God to remove the veil. Give me insight beyond my own natural abilities. Help me, Lord, to get it. Open my eyes. So how can I read my Bible in such a way that I see God there so that I see Jesus there? How can I read in such a way that it changes my life? What the psalmist is telling us is it's not enough to read the Bible and grasp what it's saying academically or intellectually, like you're reading your high school science textbook or like you're reading a John Grisham novel. It's not enough to read like that. It is important to read it and understand it academically and intellectually, but that alone is not enough. We should read the Bible in a way that is only possible because God Himself is in you by His Spirit, creating a supernatural encounter with the Bible. Another example. This proverb applies as much to Bible reading as to anything else. You know these verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Those two verses are talking about reading the Bible. At the very least, they're talking about how we encounter the Word of God. At every turn of the page, rely on God to do something supernatural. The only way you're going to have that happen in your heart and in your mind is by approaching the Bible with a deep sense of helplessness, of hope-filled reliance on God's assistance. So don't sit down and just open it up like I'm opening up my morning newspaper, or sit down and begin to read the Bible like I'm reading a textbook for my college class. I need God to help me here. He's the one that makes it make sense. He takes His Word and He transforms my life. He transforms my heart. He transforms my mind. 1 Corinthians 2. Paul writes, "We impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." So what's Paul saying? He's saying that unbelievers cannot make sense of spiritual things. Unbelievers cannot explain the cross. The unbelievers cannot understand the gospel. They can't make sense of why God works in the way He does. But the Holy Spirit explains it to me. The Holy Spirit makes it understandable. He gives me the Holy Spirit is the one that makes the incomprehensible make sense. Pastor John Piper recently wrote a great book titled Reading the Bible Supernaturally. He says, "No matter how natural the process of reading is, and no matter how natural the object discovered are, no reading and no discovery happen without dependence on God or without seeing all things in relation to His worth and beauty. If we are reading the way God means for His book to be read." So what's he saying? God intends us to read His Word in a way that is beyond ordinary human experience. If you're struggling with getting things out of the Bible when you open it up, and if you're not finding anything there that seems to connect with your life, there's a couple of possible reasons. One is because that you're not converted. You don't have the Spirit of God in you. And that certainly will cause you to not understand the Bible. And the other is because you're sitting down and you're trying to make sense of it with your own intellectual sense without the Spirit of God working in your heart. So how does this happen? What is the act of supernatural reading? It is, in essence, relying on God. Relying on the Holy Spirit and on Christ to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves as we seek to see what is really there in the Scriptures. not just to know what it says, but what it means in terms of my life and my heart and my behavior and the things that I treasure and the things that I love and where I take my identity. When I seek His help, God gives divine assistance to my heart and to my mind as I read. So Jesus opens our mind to see what's there. For example, after His resurrection from the dead, Jesus met two of His disciples on the road to Emmaus. They didn't recognize Him. And so they didn't know who He was, so they told Him about the resurrection and the events that had been going on and all the excitement. Haven't you heard about all this stuff that's going on in Jerusalem? And they were baffled. So Jesus said to them, "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into His glory?" Now, this is fascinating because Jesus says that their failure to read the Bible perceptively was due to what? Foolishness and slowness of heart. Not ignorance. Not a sixth grade reading level. Not a lack of reading it academically. That's not what prevented them from seeing Jesus there. Then later on, Jesus, after a long conversation, Jesus reveals Himself to him, and they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked to us on the road, while He opened to us the Scriptures?" Then Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples and proved who He was and proved to them that He was alive by eating some fish, proved to them that He was not a ghost. Then He said to them, "These are My words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about Me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." He opened, Luke 24:45, He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. That's supernatural reading. That's what we're talking about. He opened the Scriptures, and then He opened their minds. Jesus has to do both. He has to give us the Scripture, He has to open the Scriptures, and then He has to open our mind. One draws out the meaning of the text, while the other enables the mind to get it, to see and delight in the glory of what is there. So Jesus Christ took away their foolishness and slowness of heart. That's the kind of reading we're talking about. That's what supernatural reading is. So, for example, this week, starting tomorrow, we're going to read Genesis 1 to 11. It's not enough just to read for the facts. Oh, I want to make a chronology of the 7 days of creation and I want to make some academic notes here. It's not enough to read like you're reading a book for American Lit class. No. I ask God to open my eyes to see Him there, to see the glory of Christ. So, what does it mean for my heart that God created me? What does the very first marriage show me about how I act in my own marriage, how I relate to my wife? What does the record of Noah and the Ark and the Tower of Babel reveal to me about how God works in this world? In 2 Timothy 2:7, Paul tells Timothy to think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. So we're called to read the Bible carefully and thoroughly, because in that work of thinking through what God has given us, God acts supernaturally and gives us a kind of sight that we would not have otherwise. A kind of sight that you would not be able to have without the Spirit of God living in you. So when we pray for God to show us His glory in the Scripture, we're not asking Him to bypass the meaning of the text, but to open the fullness of what the author has written there. You ever hear somebody pray? You ever hear somebody justify their weird behavior by saying, "I prayed about it. I'm shacking up with my girlfriend. We're engaged, but I prayed about it and God said it's okay." You know, that kind of thing where we have some kind of odd behavior or unbiblical behavior and we say it's okay because we prayed about it. This prayer that I'm talking about praying over the Word of God is not about doing what I want, but making me what God wants me to be by changing me through His Word. Expose me, Lord, to Your Word. Humble me before Your Word. Show me what it means so that I can become who You want me to be. Careful reading and diligent study are used by God to produce spiritual insight. Reading the Bible should be a supernatural experience. That means that I pray that God would make me humble before His Word, teachable, open to see His glory in the pages of the Bible. Number two, why should I read the Bible in 2018? Because reading the Bible is an essential experience. Essential. It's an experience that you must have in order to thrive spiritually. You need it. Desperately, desperately, you need the Word of God. The Bible is the nourishment that your heart requires. It's essential because God, the Bible is where God shows Himself to us. It's God breathed. It's God word to us. Nowhere in the Bible is the Bible talked about as being enlightened human thoughts about God. It's God's revelation to us. It's God speaking to us. It's God showing Himself to us. Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, Your Word is firmly fixed in the heaven. It's in heaven. It's established. It's a Word that has come down from above. It's not a consensus of wisdom going up from below. That's what Jesus believed about the Bible. That's what the authors of the New Testament, the apostles, believed about the Bible. It's not just a great collection of human ideas. It's God's Word. It's essential to us because if you want to find God, this is where you find Him. Not going out on a beautiful day when the stars are out and looking at nature. Oh, I see. Well, yeah, I mean, we see something about God, but that's not where God reveals Himself to us in all of His glory. It's in His Word. It's essential also because the Bible is where we see God's infinite value and worth. The way we worship God, the way we seek God, the way we know God is in His Word, in the Bible. Reading the Bible shows us God's character, shows us who He is. The Bible is our definitive source for the answers to our questions about God. Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. Psalm 119, verse 10. With my whole heart I seek You. Let me not wander from Your commandments. I read God's Word because that's where I find God. So this Hebrew word seek, according to the best Hebrew resources, means to read repeatedly, study, search out. With my whole heart, I read again and again, and I study, I search out. This week, Catherine and I spent a couple of days in Chicago, and we went to a museum where they had a display of nativity sets from all over the world. It was fascinating. These nativity sets from every point of the globe. And Catherine and I were just laughing because every culture makes Jesus in their own image. You could almost tell what part of the globe these nativity sets were from by looking at the baby Jesus. Well, you know, was he African-American Jesus? Was he a Mexican Jesus? Was he a Northern European Jesus? Almost none of them were Palestinian Jesus. I mean, almost none of them. Because everybody makes Jesus in their own image. When I seek God with my whole heart, I look at God's Word to find Him there and see who He reveals Himself to be to me. And I wonder in glory at all that He is, His holiness and His grace and His power and His mercy and His beauty, all of His glory. Psalm 119, verse 7, I will praise You with an upright heart when I learn Your righteous rules. Verse 38, confirm to Your servant Your promise that You may be feared. You see that? When I learn the Bible, when I absorb God's rules and His promise, then I praise Him. Then I fear Him. Then I adore Him. That's the ultimate goal of God's Word, to make God known, to magnify His glory. So often we read the Bible like it's a list of rules or like it's an encyclopedia of stories. But the Bible really is a relational book. It tells us about the God who created and redeems a people for himself, people who know him personally. The God of the Bible wants us to know him personally. He isn't silent. He has revealed himself to us, and he will speak to us if we will take our Bibles down off the shelf and taste and see his goodness. And through regularly hearing God speak, that we know him and enjoy a relationship with him. Because reading the Bible is an essential experience, essential to your spiritual walk. If you don't read the Bible, you are going to make yourself completely vulnerable to every false idea and every silly little idol being thrown at you. It's like going to a duck hunt, shooting ducks in a barrel, and you're the duck. That's what happens when you don't read the Bible. You're a duck in a barrel. You're a sitting target. And when you read God's Word, when you're in God's Word, you're reading with God's assistance, you'll meet God himself there. Martin Luther: let the man who would hear God speak read the Holy Scriptures. Francis Chan and Tim Mackey, shed a little more light on this.
I think the best gift anyone ever gave me was when I was about 15. This pastor taught me how to read the Bible for myself. He didn't just say, here's what it says, do this. But he says, no, read it yourself. And the reason why that was such a huge gift is because for the last 30-something years, I've been doing that almost every day.
I became a Christian when I was 20 years old because I found Jesus so compelling and so amazing. And so I'm a new Christian. I read the Bible from cover to cover, and I am lost. I mean, just totally bewildered. And so one of the greatest gifts that anyone ever gave me was a teacher who taught me, first of all, to see how every book of the Bible fits together as a unified story that leads to and points to Jesus, and that the message of this story and of the scriptures is so profound.
I've had like the most meaningful times where I'm going, what? This is what it actually says? And I've made major life decisions when no one else is around, just me and this book.
He also taught me how to read the Bible for myself, to gain the skills. He gave me confidence, just practical know-how about how to read an ancient book that is God's word to me still today.
And it bothers me because I go, man, nowadays I don't hear about people getting alone with God or alone with the Bible. All I hear is about, oh, this speaker or this religious leader. And I'm going, man, don't you ever just get alone. I mean, this is where the impossible happens.
There's something about the story of the Bible. With once you become comfortable and learn how to live and read in its world, all of a sudden these stories that seem so bizarre and strange, they become profound insights into day-to-day life and family and what it actually means to follow Jesus.
I think, man, what would the church look like if everyone in there that showed up on a Sunday morning actually spent the whole week, every day, alone with God, having these experiences, and then they come together? Like, that would change everything.
Third reason to read the Bible in 2018, because reading the Bible is a life-giving experience. Reading the Bible is a life-giving experience. If you read the Bible, it will transform your life. Because reading the Bible, the purpose of reading the Bible is to deepen your personal relationship with Christ. Psalm 119:25. Give me life according to your word. Jesus was sitting with his closest friends with a shadow of his own death looming over him in the upper room. And he lifted his voice to the Father and said some of the most profound words of his ministry. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Jesus himself said, life is to know and enjoy Jesus Christ. And that's the heartbeat of our Bible reading, to know and enjoy the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. That's the highest task of Bible reading. It's not to internalize a dry list of do's and don'ts or just to find instruction for daily living, but to know and enjoy more of God. Psalm 119:36. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. So he uses that word there in my translation, verse 36, incline my heart to your testimonies. That's a word that means to bend, to shape. Would you shape my heart? Take the Bible, use the Bible to shape my heart so that my treasure, Lord, is you. My treasure is something more than things that won't last, things that will betray me. We're talking about a transforming encounter with God. Here's a fellow named Odd Thomas.
For some people, their experience with God is existential, or their concept of God is made up. And I think that the Bible is really the only way that we can know God. The Bible explicitly points to Jesus. The Bible explicitly teaches us how to live, how to know God rightly, how to obey, how to become dependent on Him. The Bible is a huge part of it. And that's really the starting point of experiencing God. Because if you leave it up to yourself, then who knows what you'll conjure up in your own mind. And I think as you begin to read the Bible and the Holy Spirit opens up your heart and your mind, it's crazy, but this Bible changes you. It changes everything. You begin to see God for who He is. You begin to see how affectionate He is towards you. You begin to see how much He loves His people. You can't know that without the Bible. I used to hear people all the time tell me, well, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Well, how do we know that? How do we know that? Well, I just know. I just feel it. And that's cool. I mean, it's true. But for someone like me, I needed to know, how do you know that? And I think the Bible is explicitly clear. It tells you. The whole Bible, Old Testament all the way to the New Testament, points to Jesus. My purpose in life is to love God, love people, and bring Him glory. And I know that purpose because He tells me that in the Scriptures.
Reading the Bible is a life-giving experience, but it won't happen.
For some,
it won't happen unless you are having an encounter with God. I need supernatural intervention in my Bible reading. I need it. Why is it hard? There are two obstacles to supernatural reading. Two obstacles. Number one, Satan blinds us. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. He's real. The devil hates God. He hates God's people. And he hates God's word. And he will do anything in his power to keep you away from it. Number two, our own sin blinds us. Romans 8:7. The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. So the implication there is that ignorance is not our deepest problem. There is a hardness of rebellion against God that goes deeper than our ignorance. John Piper. Without God's Spirit graciously removing our spiritual blindness and softening our hearts, we can neither grasp the meaning of the biblical text nor see the beauty of what is there. God-dependent prayer and humility, then, become essential for reading Scripture as God intends it to be read. To those who cry out continually for help, God grants wisdom and grace. So the Bible itself teaches that it is to be read supernaturally. Not because it's poorly written, but because our hearts are by nature foolish and rebellious. We are in rebellion against what God has written. And without God's intervention in our hearts, we won't understand it. Psalm 119, verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Verse 26. When I told of my ways, you answered me, teach me your statutes. Psalm 119:33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Verse 125. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. So, how do we put ourselves in a position where God helps us with our reading? How do we put ourselves in a position where we can begin to grasp and understand and be spiritually changed by the Bible? How do you read the Bible in a strength of another so that as you read naturally like you would read the newspaper or a murder mystery or a science textbook, how do you do this so that God works supernaturally in your reading? How do you do that? John Piper suggests five things we must do to read by the Spirit, to read supernaturally. And each one of these are deceptively simple. And yet if we leave any one of them on the wayside, then it's not going to happen. And we'll put it in an acronym, APTAT, admit, pray, trust, act, and think. Number one, admit. When I come before the Bible, I must admit that without Christ, I can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. I'm helpless. Don't come at the Bible like an expert. Don't come at the Bible like somebody who's read it through before and think they know it all. Come humble and dependent and teachable. Number two, pray. I pray for God's help. Whatever form of help I need. Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. That talks about our reading of the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. And that's, I'm asking God, help me see. Not just what is there, but what does it mean to me? How is my life to be formed by this, shaped by this, changed by this? Third, trust. APT. I trust a specific promise of God that is tailor-made for my situation, or a general promise that covers lots of situations. So when you're reading the next couple of days, you're reading the account of creation. In the beginning, God created the world, and then you read the creation of Adam and Eve on Monday and Tuesday. What does that mean for me? That I am not the accident of billions of years of accidental processes that will ultimately lead me to nowhere and nothing. But I am the divine creation of God, created in His image with dignity and value and worth. That moves my heart. I want to rest my heart in that promise. Lord, I trust you that this is true, that you are my master, you are my creator, and you created me for your purposes. Isaiah 41. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I'm trusting God. Number four, act. APTA, act. I act in obedience to God's word, expecting God to act under and in and through my acting. What I mean there is just do something. Just do something. Don't look at the Word of God and read the Word of God and go away like a man looking in a mirror and saying, well, that's interesting. I got an ugly spot on my shirt. That's interesting. I need to do something. Philippians 2, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for God is the one at work in you to will and to work according to His good pleasure. Just do something. Go into your Bible reading intending to change, to act, to do something. Finally, T. APTAT, thank. I thank God for whatever good comes. I give Him the glory. Give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20. So, this year at Graham Church, we're going to read through the whole story, a year of reading the Bible, which means we are going to read the Bible with the intent of getting our mind around God, the big picture. picture of the Bible. The whole story, to let the Bible change our lives. We're going to do this together. Now, let's be honest. For many of you, the prospect of reading through much of the scriptures in a year is pretty intimidating. Even if you believe the Bible, you might feel like... some of us approach the Bible kind of like we do when we're signing up for a software and this disclaimers page comes up on Windows, and I just want to get to the bottom and hit accept. I don't read all that stuff. I just want to get past it. And we come to a genealogy in Scripture, like, just get me past it. Get me to the good stuff. And I want to get beyond that. And so if you assume that... there's something there. If you go at every passage of Scripture, assuming there's something there that God has for you, something that will help you and change you, then you'll find it. Some of you have tried to read the Bible. You started out, and it really didn't go very well. Maybe you made a New Year's resolution, but you got stuck in the book of Leviticus with, things sticking on the wall and weird kinds of stuff. Or maybe you ran into a genealogy where Abima Shabtham begets Melchizedek, and you kind of just fizzled out and said, whoa, this is enough for me. Well, this year at Graham Church, we're going to change all that. We're going to read together. We're going to hold each other accountable, and it will absolutely change your life. Tomorrow, New Year's, will you make a commitment together with us and with God to read His Bible, His Word, in 2018? You can do this. You can. At least this. Many of you can do far, far, far more, and you should. But do at least this. Will you make yourself available to read it supernaturally? And will you do it humbly? Will you be teachable? Will you let the Bible do a work in your heart? It will change your life, I promise you. Now, the very fact that we're making a New Year's resolution means it's a struggle. It is a struggle. That's what, I want to lose 10 pounds this year. You're right. You're admitting by making that New Year's resolution that this is hard. I haven't been able to conquer this thing yet. And so by making this commitment, we're recognizing that this is a discipline. And disciplines are hard until they become well-ingrained habits. And once it becomes a habit in your life, then it will become far easier. So I'm asking you this morning, will you make a declaration of your intention before God to read His Word this year? 6 days a week. You'll find the list everywhere. We're trying to make them. You've got bookmarks in your seat. We've got list of the whole plan for the whole year on the front of the bulletin down in the corner. You can send, and back in the, it tells you, we can get a text on Sunday, which tells you the reading for the week. If you like texting, you want to have it. I was in Chicago this week, so I went to the Graham Church website and clicked on January the 1st, and up popped the schedule for what the reading is supposed to be for tomorrow. So you can find it anywhere. It's no excuse to say I don't know where to read, because we're trying to make it available as many places as possible, electronically and in print. The question is, will you commit to do it? Will you read God's Word? Let's stand together. Father, Your Word is life, and there You have revealed Yourself to us. My prayer is, Father, that we would read in such a way that we would see Your power and Your worth and Your glory, that we would fall more and more in love with You because of how You show Yourself to us in Your Word. When we encounter difficulties in this life, may we find the remedy in Your Word. When we encounter joys in this life, may we find how to give You praise and thanks in Your Word. When we have relationships that are difficult, may we see how Jesus transforms our relationships in Your Word. Change us by Your power. May You be delighted with us. In Christ's name, amen.